What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Little things, big things, He's able to answer and do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We have several requests, too many to read all the details involved, but Kay Shannon is sick and needs a touch from the Lord. One of our students' mother is in the hospital and needs prayer. Let's remember this request. A friend of one of our students needs a touch for both spiritual and physical needs today, and a friend also who has some very deep problems, emotional and otherwise, of one of our students. The world is full of needs, and those of you who have given in these requests, they're here before the Lord, saying it audibly, doesn't answer it anyway. God knows what these needs are and where these people are. So you particularly take these requests to God this morning. Maybe others of you have needs, physical, spiritual, some other need. Raise your hand and let this be a sign to God that you have a need. And as we go to prayer, let's just bare our hearts before God and tell Him what we need and what we want and put our faith in Him today. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts rejoice that we do have this access to Thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh God, we realize that the provision of God is so great for us today through Jesus Christ. And then we realize that our needs are so many. This is surely a needy world in which we live, a troubled world, a world that's racked with pain and turmoil and strife and confusion and want and hatred and variance and strife and all kinds of things that are happening in the world today. And sometimes, Lord, even in our lives, we have great needs. And surely as we're gathered together here today, this student body and faculty and staff, in each of our lives today, there is a need. We're glad, Lord, that Your provision is greater than our need. Your provision is more than adequate. Your ear is inclined toward our cry, and Your arm is extended toward us. And You delight to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And for these requests that are mentioned this morning, Lord, for mothers, for friends, for body, for soul, we pray, O God, that You will stretch forth Your hand and will minister to these needs. Bless those of our own faculty, perhaps retired faculty, that are in need of Thee today. Bless Miss Amundson and the need in her life, and Sister Fee and the need in her body. And now we pray for everyone who raised their hands today. Oh God, may we know the joy of answered prayer because of this moment of commitment of our need unto God, casting all of our cares upon You, for You care for us. May we commit our way unto the Lord and trust also in You that You shall bring it to pass. Help us now by faith to take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. Bless our hearts in the rest of this service as through Thy servant You challenge us and awaken our hearts by Thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated.
Would you sing with me, hallelujah, hallelujah? Let's lift it in praise to the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. As we lift our praise to Him, we have the assurance that He inhabits that praise. His presence is there. Praise God. George Ho is going to minister in song before our speaker comes today.
Where do you go when you've come to the end of the road? Who really cares when your song is sung? When you've seen all you wanted to see, and become what you wanted to be, and you still don't really know where you belong, you go to the place where life begins, to the love that never ends, to Jesus, whose arms are open wide. Run on inside. You should have come sooner. You should have come sooner. You should have come sooner. Where do you fly when your dreams have kissed you goodbye? When your friends are gone and there you are alone? When there's no one to take your side and no place for you to hide, and you feel like the only one out on your own, you go to the place where life begins, to the love that never ends, to Jesus, whose arms are open wide. Run on inside. You should have come sooner. You should have come sooner. You should have come sooner. You should have come sooner.
Thank you, George. We're happy to have as our chapel guest today President Emeritus C. Butterfield, who for many years was president of this college. It was during his administration that the college moved to this campus, and many a miracle was witnessed in the development of the campus and the development of the college. The Crowder told you the story again this fall, and I know that it's fresh in your mind how that this campus was procured and how step by step the Lord led the way and miracle after miracle brought it into being. Brother Butterfield is a man of many talents, and God has blessed his ministry in giving him wide open doors around the world. He, in the past 8.5 years since leaving the college, has covered many parts of the globe. He has been called on to minister in Bible colleges abroad, serving on an interim capacity and so forth, and he enjoys this richly. When you talk with him, you sense that his mind is reaching around the world, and he's seeking to be used of God and understand what God is doing around the world. I hear of him here, and then I hear of him there, and charismatic circles and what have you, and we're just pleased that he can be with us today now and to share with us. Some of your students will not have met him, But he, for many years, served as the president of this college and brought it to its point of beauty and development as it now enjoys it here on this campus. I think that you were there when the idea was born, isn't that right? In the district council and so on. And so he's watched it develop from the very, very beginning. If there's a pioneer, founder, this man is certainly there. We're delighted to have you here, sir, and God bless you as you minister to this fine student body. I often say the best in the Assemblies of God, and I think you'd agree with me on that.
Good morning, students. This is a lovely opportunity for me to come back to this campus, and every time my feet tread this sacred soil, the thought comes to me again that we serve a living God. I don't know how sacred this soil is to you, but it is to me because it is the result of answered prayer and the goodness and mercy of God. Praise the Lord. I am glad to be living in the day that we are living in today, young people, because we're living in a wonderful age, a fast-changing age, a beautiful age. God is working all over the world and pouring out His Spirit in many nations. I have been in 77 different countries, including all the communist countries of Europe, and I have witnessed the hand of God moving upon the hearts of people, and many are being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And there is rejoicing and joy in many lands because of what God is doing in the lives of people. Of course, on the other hand, the world is in a frightful condition in many ways, which of course is widening the gap between the church, the body of Christ, and this present world. My wife and I spent most of the year in Europe and in Africa, and had the privilege to be in Nigeria and witness one of the finest developed missionary programs that we have ever seen. A marvelous church throughout this land. We had the privilege of ministering in Bible institutes for ministers, and I believe we had over 800 ministers in the four Bible institutes that we held there for ministers. I am greatly encouraged in my heart in what is going on today in the world at the hand of God, and how many people are being saved from all vocations of life and filled with the Holy Spirit. We are presently visiting a meeting held in Everett. Once a month, I believe we attend, of doctors, professional men, doctors and lawyers, most of whom have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and are having prayer meetings in their hospitals. So you see, this marvelous move of the Spirit of God is touching many vocations in many areas of life, perhaps that we thought in the past were out of the reach of spiritual things. I would love to continue to talk about what is going on in the world, but my time will not permit it this morning. I do not have the privilege that I had in Africa of preaching an hour and a half every time. Well, and our services started in the mornings at 10, and I was still on my feet at noon. They think if you preach less than an hour and a half in Africa, you're a novice just out of Bible school. I would like just to say a few words to you this morning on a subject that is very important to me. And I will read one verse of Scripture from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's the last verse, the 13th. And now abideth hope, faith, hope, and love, these three, But the greatest of these is love. And so I would like to speak to you on the subject of love this morning, because I believe it to be the supreme quality, both of God and of man. I think that if there is one virtue that all of God's people should pursue, it is the attainment of this supreme quality of God, which is love. The only definition that I have ever found in the Bible of God is God is love. And while there are numerous listings of the attributes of God, this one quality of God stands out above all others and from whence all others come, the love of God. All that God does is through love. And while this may be hard to understand in the light of the fact that he is also a God of retribution and judgment, but all of these ancillary aspects of God come from a heart of God, which is love. My conclusion after these few years of my life is that if there is one objective that stands out in my mind above all others that I would like to have as a possession, that I would like to have increased, would be the love of God in my heart. The eternal value of all that I am in thought or in word or in deed would be sustained by this one quality. For while we have many thoughts and attitudes and words and deeds in life, many of them do not amount to anything, and some of them are even rubbish. But the thing that would give eternal value to all of my thoughts and all of your thoughts and all of our words and deeds would be the special mark of God upon these things, which would be the love of God. The love of God is urged upon us by the Scriptures, the Word of God. In all of the epistles of Paul, he urges upon the churches to love one another, to love one another ardently, to love one another without dissimulation or pretense. It was the command of the Lord Jesus Christ for us to love one another. He said, "A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." And so we see the preeminent position and the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that which has been written to the church is upon this great virtue, which is the nature of God himself, for us to possess this. Now, along with our many other spiritual attainments and accomplishments in life, unless love is the regulatory factor of all of these things, they can fall to the ground and be in vain. Paul describes this in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. If we speak with other tongues and prophesy and have faith that we can remove mountains and even suffer within ourselves and give our bodies to be burned for a cause, without this divine quality in us, without this this supreme nature of God in us, it amounts to vanity. I am nothing, the apostle concludes. And so then, we have all experienced the facts of God's love, we who are saved. And we found that when we came to Jesus, and we asked the Lord himself to come into our hearts, it was more than a passing emotion or feelings. It was even more than the forgiveness of sins which had been promised to us. But we found that something happened on the inside of us which seemed to rise above every other quality that we ever possessed. We loved. Perhaps for the first time in our lives, we knew what the love of God was. Now this love of God supersedes and transcends all other types of love, such as human love, romantic love, the love of parents for children and children for parents, and this friendship love that we have in the natural. This is another love. This is a different love. This is a love that demands or requires nothing in response. This is a non-reciprocal love. God loved us before we loved him. He didn't say, I'll love you if you love me. But while we were yet sinners, God loved us, and Christ died for us. So then here is something that almost staggers the imagination, that there is a love so transcendent, so great, so beautiful, and so magnificent that it can be housed in the human bosom. And I can have it, and you can have it. I suppose that when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you experienced a new expression and a further extension of this love of God that came into your heart, and that you began to love people that you didn't love before. You ceased to magnify the things that were different between you. You ceased to become critical of them. And you began to minimize the differences, and you looked upon them with different eyes, and you loved them. Why shouldn't we love one another? Jesus said, how can you say you love God if you don't love one another? Because we haven't seen God, but we do see each other. And if God dwells in us, if Jesus is in me, then it seems to me that I must love the person that Jesus is in. If I love Jesus, I must love him, because Jesus is in him. And so that is what the Lord meant. So when he said, how can you say you love God if you do not love each other? Because I am in your brother and your sister. And so then, here, my friend, is a marvelous thing, the love of God. It is the evidence of salvation. We know in this doubting world, in which our own hearts are occasionally assailed with doubt, that we have passed from death to life. How do we know this? Because we joined the church or read our Bibles or were baptized, we know that we have passed from death into life because we have experienced the nature of God in us. From death to life, God is life. And now the nature of God is in us, and that nature of God is displayed in us because we love the brethren. Herein, we know that we are saved. And this is the very evidence that God has given the whole world that we are saved. For God has made it known to all mankind, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, because you love one another. You see, the world does not know who the disciples of Jesus are, because there's a church on every corner, and every religion is waving its own banner and proclaiming its own doctrines and way to heaven. So the world is bewildered. And a man without God does not know which way to turn, because there are so many voices calling. But God has taken care of that. And he says, by this is it, that all men shall know. In their hearts they know. Why? Because they look upon God's people who love one another. Oh my, how this displaces all the problems in church, the quarrels and the divisions and the differences of doctrine and all of the rest. But when God's people began to exercise the love of God in their hearts, it is a beautiful sight to the people of the world. How do I get love in my heart? I have the love of God now, but I think, like every Christian, we want to see a greater manifestation of the love of God, this supreme quality that's above everything else. It's above achievement. I used to pray for love, but it didn't seem to come. I used to desire love. And I sought after love. But it just seemed that there are some things that God gives us and some things that do not come by the gift of God. For instance, God gives us salvation. There's no price tag on it. He doesn't charge anything for the baptism. The gifts of the Spirit are given, but there are some things that are not given. For instance, God does not give us character. He does not give us patience. These are the things that come to us because we ourselves press into God, and they are the development of our own lives as we expose ourselves to God. Now, love comes to us in this, by God, exposure. And I have found that as we expose ourselves to God, that is, as we walk with Him, and as we talk with Him, and as we pray, and as we trust in Him, that His very nature begins to manifest itself in us, and we find almost unconscious to ourselves, like the shining face of Moses, there develops in us God's love as we walk with God and know God and become acquainted with God, and as we forsake all evil, God begins to develop His love in our heart. To me, this is the greatest achievement of a human being, is to live and die. If he dies, he actually doesn't, he just exchanges his old body for a new one. It's the greatest achievement of life. Did that bell ring? Just one closing thought. I have, as President Hurst is a mentioned, I've been associated with the school for many years, and many things were developed and achieved while I was associated with this school. And I think the Lord used me in various ways to bring it about, but He could have used anybody, and perhaps some would have been a little better, I don't know. But many things happened at any rate. And as I look back now, after a number of years back at the scene, that there is one thing that I rejoice in, and it is not that we developed a new campus, not that we increased the student body, or that we developed an accredited faculty, nor all of these things which are worthy and good. But as I look back now, after having finished the work that God had for me to do on this campus, there's one thing that stays with me and gives me a very comforting and satisfying feeling, and I'll take it to my grave with me if the Lord doesn't come first, and that's this, that I love the people. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of students that we had here, I cannot think of one student that I didn't love. And when I think of the faculty, there isn't one faculty member in my tenure of office in the school that I didn't love. It is a thing that I carry with me, and with it there are no disappointments. No, I wished I had have done's, but it is a supreme satisfaction that I loved everybody. It's a beautiful, beautiful feeling. Hallelujah. And as I look upon the faces of this student body this morning, while most of you I do not know, but I can say, I love you, students. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Butterfield. I'm sure we'll remember that. Carry it with us. Let's stand together, shall we? We thank thee, our Father, for the love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We thank thee for the reality of the experience that we have in thee. When in you loved us even before we knew you. This love has been brought to us, this changed us, made us to be thy sons and daughters. We thank thee that we can love one another and experience thee in that love. We pray that thou wilt help us to love. Grant that we shall show this great sign of God in us as we move about this campus and move about our world and wherever we may go. We pray for our brother and sister Butterfield that thy blessing shall rest upon them. Continue to give them health and strength. May the Spirit of God rest upon him as he ministers, and the doors continue to open and opportunities be there wherein thou canst use him to minister to ministers and others wherever he goes. Bless him and keep him. Use him in all his ways, we pray. Finally, we would thank thee for the work of God that has been wrought here in this place through him, through his ministry. Now may the grace of God rest upon us, drawing us unto thee and using us for thy glory, we pray. Amen. God bless you as you go. Just before Peter has an important word for some of you.
Some of you received an announcement in the mail that you're to go by and sign your affidavit in connection with financial aid. If you have not done so, please do it this morning. Brother Millard is here to accommodate you in this. Thank you.
Then, you know, good luck. Good luck to all you young, foolish, single people. Seriously, God is good. God is the can be a real dynamic in your married life. And we don't want to paint a picture that's all bad. There's a lot of good. And shall we stand and ask God's blessing? Lord, we thank you this morning for practical instruction. We thank you for these that have shared from their own lives and from their own experiences something very down-to-earth, very nitty-gritty, something that really gets close to home. And Lord, we pray that you would guide each one of our lives. Lord, you have a plan and a direction for each one of us. And Lord, we as married students today hold up every single student here at Northwest College. Lord, we pray that your best would be for them. We pray, Lord, that you would guide them to a mate And God, that you would build strong families and strong homes, that the kingdom of God might be edified and built up. For thy sake, amen. God bless you and be with you.
I began to love him and worship him, and I could feel the Spirit moving in my heart. You want to talk about a hope? You want to preach a hope to a world? How are you going to preach a hope? You don't experience that there's reality. A little lady in my church was dying. She'd become so precious to me. She had said to her boys, "Just move over. I've adopted one more boy." She had four sons. To the pastor's, my son too. Went to the hospital the day she was dying. They didn't expect her to live. She'd been calling for me. I came to her bedside. She'd just been whispering my name, so I bent over her. The boy said, "I think she wants you to get down close." I got down close to her, and she breathed my name, and I said, "Yes, Mama Johnson, I'm here." She reached up a hand behind my neck and pulled me down and kissed me goodbye. She lay there, looked so peaceful and beautiful. Little, withered up little ladies, loved Jesus so much. We sat there and watched the life ebbing out of her body, and suddenly there was a beautiful smile came across the face. Evidently, God was letting her have a revelation. She said, "Oh, heaven is such a beautiful place." Then she lay there for a moment. She could only say it in a whisper. And then with every little, the last little bit of energy that was left in her body, she lifted up the pillow, off the pillow just ever so slightly. And with one last exclamation of just a whisper, where she said it, "And there's Jesus." She fell back on the pillow. She was gone to glory. Don't tell me there's no heaven. Don't tell me it won't be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Stand with me. Let's raise both hands toward glory and ask God to let us experience Him this morning. Would you just open your hearts? Open your lives and pray right out to the Lord. Let God give you a fresh experience of His divine presence. God's in this place this morning. Let's experience Him for a few minutes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you for this school. I thank you for every teacher. I thank you for those that have trained themselves in the Word of God that may impart knowledge unto these students. Oh, God, you've given them a beautiful ministry and a beautiful ability to instruct them. But, oh, God, I pray that not only will we fill our minds, but, Lord, let our hearts, let our souls be filled with God. Let us know that there's a God in heaven that saves. Let us know there's a God in heaven that heals. Let us know that there's a God in heaven that hears the cry of the aching world that is lost without hope and without God. Let us know there's a God that still baptizes in the power of the Holy Ghost and makes people whole by His dynamic working. Let us know there's a God of hope. There's a God that said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, but where I am, there you may be also." Let us experience that God in our lives. Let us know thy glory, O Lord. We pray like Moses of old, "O God, show me thy glory." Let us experience thee. Let us know thee. God, bring that balance to our lives where not only our heads are filled with knowledge, but our hearts are filled with divine experience. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we worship thee this morning, O Lord. You have said that in you inhabit the praises of Israel. Lord, I believe that you come to inhabit the praises of this crowd of young people as they worship thee today. You come to dwell in our midst. You come to reveal yourself. Anoint our eyes with thy salve that we might see. Open our hearts in an understanding that we might experience thee, Lord. Bring thy glory and bring thy power and bring thy presence into our lives. Make every class more meaningful because of our experiences with thee. Make every avenue of ministry more beautiful because we have experienced thee. Make everything that we attempt to do in our busyness for thee more meaningful because we know thee whom to know is life everlasting. That we might know thee, Lord. That we might know thee, Lord. That we might know thee, Lord. The knowledge that we
we can receive in this world. It counts for so little, but oh God, to know Thee, to know Thee, to know Thee is life. To know Thee is life. To know Thee is strength. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Let's sing the chorus together. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Sing it out with me.
He is Lord.
Hunger has been awakened in all our hearts to know the Lord in a new way. I would urge you to seek God as you have opportunity throughout the day to return to the chapel tonight at 7. Here we will have opportunity to wait before the Lord and to receive the fullness that He wants us to have. Heavenly Father, we pray that Your benediction shall follow us as we go to our classes and various activities. May our minds be stayed upon Thee and our hearts be receptive to Your fullness. In Jesus' name, amen.